That was the shortened version of the parable of the sower. A parable is a story based upon reality with a moral meaning. We know in literature there's prose and poetry. The prose of Jane Austen or perhaps C.S. Lewis or Tolkien, it can be a paragraph describing an event or a place. It's long and lengthy but gives you a good imaginary picture of what's happening. Then there's poetry, short, pithy. Which lasts longer? Which is more profound? It's poetry. And that's why music, good music with good lyrics, goes straight to the soul and goes within and leaves an imprint. And you remember those few words that make you ponder, wonder. So of the two, poetry is more, you might say, soul food than prose. But we need prose, that's our staple diet. And of course our Lord, knowing his people, gave them a parable, which is spiritual poetry, with a story that would help them ponder the reality of salvation. Of course, Christ is the sower, the seed is the word is truth, truth of salvation. Attached to that truth is actual grace. Grace and truth must go together to penetrate the soul and have some impact. When you and I go sprinkling seed or broadcasting seed, throwing it here and there, like for example sowing the front lawn, we're careful not to throw it on the road because we've paid for the seed firstly, and of course what's the point throwing it on the road or the driveway? So we're careful where we throw it. Christ as the sower throws it everywhere, all and sundry. It goes on the road, it goes among the thorns, it goes over there. God wants all people to be saved. He throws out, spiritually speaking, his truths, his grace. All are to be saved. In his book, the only tragedy in life for all of us is not to become a saint, not to be saved. He throws out the grace, the blessings, the inspirations. How we respond is another reality. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. The effect is wanting in us. Take, for example, the sun. If Kim stays out today, go out this afternoon, the sun comes down upon all reality, all things, all objects. But the effect on the object is determined not by the sun, but by us. You might have out there, in one case, mud, and then wax, for example, our candles. The sun shines down on both of them. If it's a hot day, what happens to the mud? It becomes hard. What happens to the wax? It becomes soft. Completely different reactions or responses, and yet the same cause. Well, so too, God sends out his grace, his truths. How we react is our doing, not his. And of course, he gives some classic examples. The seed falls on hard ground. Birds come, pick it up. Birds are creatures. Creatures come and devour his word. What creatures devour God's word, his truths, his grace, every day in some way in our life? The fallen, angels, demons devour God's word, twist his word, his truths, manipulate them and pull them apart. How many people are deceived daily? The truths of Christ and actual grace is squandered because the birds, the spiritual birds of prey, come. I'm thinking of the census. We've just had the Australian census. How many Australians filling out that census form came to the point with regard to religion? And this was perhaps the temptation from the evil dark side that entered their mind as a thought pattern. Oh, yeah, I think we were Anglicans once. Oh, yeah, we're Christians somewhere. We haven't done much with church or God. But then again, who would want to deal with church or God? Man-made religion. Religion, what's it caused? Wars, disaster. Look at the abuse issues. No, I'm not into religion. No, I'm a spiritual person. Yeah, I believe in a type of God. And I think somehow God and I are kind of all okay. I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not into religion. Spirituality is fine. This box says, religion, I'm not going to tick it. I've got no religion. Tick. That would be common. Very common. And that thought pattern is a dark thought pattern. never fall into the spirituality versus religion argument, the either or. It's both and. A glove is made to fit on a hand. Makes no sense otherwise. The glove is made to fit, it's got four fingers, a thumb, it's meant to go on the hand. So too, religion is not my invention, nor yours, nor the church's. It's God's. True religion God gave to us to fit on our spiritual soul. That's why we have it. Religion means religare, to bind us to a cult, a code, and a creed. We need it, God made it, and it fits. Don't let them pull them apart. That's a lie. That's a devouring. That's the evil side manipulating those truths. Some seed, however, fell upon soil but sprang up and faded. These are the fickle people of life who go from fad to fad. People who perhaps are on a quick, get-rich-quick scheme. Who are here in this job this year and gone to another job next year. Who are in and out of relationships. Nothing lasts, including God's truth and His grace. They're here for a while, but then they drift away and drift into another church or drift into this or that. They lack roots. They really lack virtues. They're people that are caught up on whims, moods, the age that we're living in. They lack good perseverance, fidelity. And at the end, they feel very empty because they've never stuck at anything much. We need to encourage such people, adopt them into your family, teach them that fidelity is a beautiful word. And at the end of your life, it won't matter so much what fame and fortune you have, but were you faithful? What consolation we'll have when we've been faithful to our vocation in life and to our faith. Then, of course, there's those seeds that fell on good soil, but note, there were thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other translations say suffocated them, snuffed out, almost kind of, it couldn't grow any further, it was just pushed down. I'm thinking here of good families that raise good children, teach them the ways of the faith, and those children leave home and go to university. Now I have 4 degrees, but today universities, academia is very anti-Christian. In fact, anti-religion. I don't care really what you study, whether it's medicine, law, psychology, you'll find lecturers bent upon mocking God, church, religion, Christianity, bringing up manipulated historical facts, twisting the doctrines of the church to push their agenda. And it has nothing to do with the course. There's such a negative, antagonistic mentality out there that young people going at the university, one, keep their head down, two, respond in like to get good marks and eventually become very secular. They're suffocated because they want to achieve well and they can't achieve and be a practicing Christian. It's just not on anymore in the world of academia. And of course, there's other people that suffocate us. People who have jobs, perhaps, and the boss is not into church or God, and you have to keep a low profile. Or perhaps you're working for a Muslim, and he doesn't like you being a Christian. There's many ways we are suffocated. Just the culture today, which is anti-family, anti-child, anti-life, suffocates us. It makes us kind of cringe. It's very easy to give up and just go with the flow. Christ says, no, persevere. Fight those thorns, break free and be liberated, and then put down those roots and produce fruit. Rich soil, 60, 30, I'll give you the grace, you respond and the fruits shall be yours. So we have hope, we trust in God, but most importantly we trust in His ways, not our ways. And as Christ broadcasted the seed far and wide to all and sundry, never limit God's grace or His truth. Never think, oh, that person wouldn't be interested, or this fellow over here, he's pretty anti. Say it anyway. I say that because some of our greatest saints in heaven once were on the fringe of society. Augustine? He was not anywhere close to God, church or religion. His morals were depraved. Look what he became. The greatest theologian of his era. We'll take, for example, young Xavier, or his model, Ignatius of Loyola, into fame and fortune. He was a great soldier until God pulled him up short, and then a book changed his life. That was a seed sown, and he founded the Jesuits. Or perhaps Francis of Assisi. He was into his vanity, money, prestige, until God pulled him up and then sowed a seed. And that seed brought forth perhaps one of the most wonderful religious orders we've ever seen. Or just last week, young Camillus, who was as a soldier, had an addiction to gambling, couldn't control himself. Can you imagine he would have been in some army tent somewhere after a battle with his money, squandering, playing dice or cards late into the night? A seed was sown somehow, somewhere, and in time it bore tremendous fruit with a lover of the sick and those in need. So never doubt where God's seeds are sown, and always spread them far and wide, because he performs, or he rather causes, the growth. We trust in his will, and we pray that one day the fruits may be plentiful and the fruits may be part and parcel of our family and our homes. Praise be Jesus Christ.